dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. We are ready for what should be an exciting weekend of sports coming up on the program today. We talk to our OU insider, James Hale, is going to join us to break down the Oklahoma Sooners, what they have left, which is still quite a bit, as they get ready to head to Lincoln to take on Nebraska. I think the festivities around the game are starting to overshadow the actual game itself, and tomorrow we'll make our predictions on that contest. But James Hale joins us today. Also, Joe DeMayo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com will join us. Daddy and I will give our NFL power rankings after a week off. We'll see how much change there was. And scheduled to join us here in just a few minutes, Kelsey Peterson. And what timing. Iowa State beats Texas last night. They beat Nebraska and Texas in the same season, I believe. Well, it would be for the first time ever because they'd never beaten Nebraska. They beat number two Texas last night at home in five. Now Nebraska comes to Ames on Saturday, so the Kearney High graduate going to join us.
Doug, you mentioned the timing. If you're an Iowa State volleyball fan, which I think if you're involved at all with the Peterson family and know Kelsey, yeah, you probably cheer for them a little bit. Where do the expectations of this team go when you enter the season? Really, you're third. You're fighting for third behind Nebraska and Texas. Now all of a sudden, you beat Nebraska and Texas. Now do you start thinking about making a run to a Final Four? Do you change those? Can you change your goals in the middle of the season and make them a national title contender?
Well, they're in the top 10, and give a great thumbs up to Chris Johnson, what they have done over there. The ex-Husker has got Iowa State right where they need to be. So Kelsey's going to join us in just a little bit. And, of course, I guess the baseball season's over. Is that what I heard? I mean, state high school football playoffs keeping us busy. I guess the baseball season ended last night.
Yeah, number 27 ended. The Yankees' nine-year drought is over. They are back as world champions, right where George Steinbrenner fully expects them to be every year.
Denpop Redbox wide open. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The phone number, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN. I guess we can go to that Denpop Redbox, Daddy.
Yeah, this is from Mark in Minden. He says, Doug, I know you aren't a Yankees fan and probably glad the season is over, so I want to ask you about the game last night. But did you see the great Godzilla movie last night?
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
Stick it. I think we said when we made the predictions at the very beginning, the Yankees were the best team, and they proved it. They were just a little too deep. Their pitching makes me ill to watch Andy Pettitte continue to get calls that are not even close to the strike zone. I just would like to, and this is going to sound like sour grapes, but so be it. Here's what I've got. Again, I have harped on this. ESPN, anybody that can do this, do this and prove to me that I'm wrong. Here's what I want. Prove to me that I'm wrong because it happened again last night. How many times do they show a replay of what the announcers believe is a controversial call against the Yankees? And how many times do they show a replay when there's a controversial call against the Phillies? It's all the time against the Yankees, and they even showed a pitch last night that was so far outside that shouldn't have even been replayed, and they never show a Phillies replay. And I mean, that is the honest to God's truth. There is no debating it. It happens. It's bias. It needs to be fixed. It's unprofessional. It's unprofessional. If you're showing the World Series, Fox, you need to be professional, and they weren't. They just flat out weren't. It's embarrassing, and something needs to be done. It needs to be addressed by Major League Baseball.
I think it's interesting when you look at Texera, who Mark Teixeira, who you think a lot of people thought was going to be one of the big hitters. He did have two home runs, but what did he hit? 180? You know, some of those big names didn't produce in the World Series, although Jeter and Rodriguez do step up at big times and have big games for them. So the $394 million payroll pays off, and they get their championship.
So the Yankees win, the Yankees win. Daddy, state football playoffs. Two teams move on and two stay home because of conversions. Kicking, two-point, however you want to look at them. We have harped on this for a number of years, whether you need to have a kicker on your team or not. We have seen so many teams stay home. But last night it wasn't necessarily the case in the Giltner-Axtell game. It may have been the case in the Maxwell-Amherst game, which had a, just both had. Amherst was just a strange, strange ending where they're trying to kneel on the ball. They fumble the snap, pick it up, and run it in. And then that gives Maxwell another opportunity, and Maxwell scores, goes for two in the win, and doesn't get it. Axtell had kicked a field goal. They'd been successful on some PATs last night, but then they had one blocked, and they missed another one, and so they decided to go for two instead of taking a chance on just the tie, and it didn't work. Nate Most, who's always talked about on offense, made the play on defense, and Giltner advances on 30-29. Strange. Axtell scores four touchdowns and a field goal. Giltner scores four touchdowns. Giltner wins the game because they hit their two-point conversions.
Doug, what a great game. It's too bad that game had to take place in the second round. Great crowd at Axtell last night. You know, I heard so many people after the game say, that's the best football game I've saw in several years. These were two rams on the side of a mountain colliding over and over again. One would score, the other one would match it. It was playground football. People throwing the ball. Nate Most, great arm. The fat kid threw the ball extremely well for Axtell. Big plays were made. Big hits on defense. Just came down, and supposedly, from what I was told after the game, it was a deal which Kent Ropers actually went to his kids and said, is your season. Do you guys feel you guys want to go for two? And kind of left it in their hands instead of, if he did that, I think the momentum was surely with Axtell.
Do you think there's ever a kid in the history of the world that would have said no? In the moment you just scored, everybody's going to want to go for two. And I'm not even talking about whether it's a right or wrong decision. I'm just saying, who wouldn't want to go for two? You're geeked up. You're ready to put it away. You're ready to win. You're ready to move on to the next level. And give credit to Giltner. They made the play on the road to get that victory. The next round of the state football playoffs on Tuesday. But coming up at 1 o'clock here, Daddy and I are headed to Loomis for Pleasanton-Loomis football. So join us for that in the D2 second round. When we come back, Kelsey Peterson is scheduled to join us to talk a little Iowa State volleyball after their huge win over Texas last night. Now they get ready to take on Nebraska, who they've got a one-game winning streak against for the first time in school history. Back after this.
After listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, many people are heard to mutter,
who are those guys?
Those guys, we'll be right back.
Have you noticed a change in your hearing? If so, then see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. Our university-trained audiologists can customize hearing aid products to fit your needs, lifestyle, and budget. We continuously update our product line to offer our patients the latest advances in hearing aid technology. To learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide, visit us at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships return to Santa Anita Park on Friday and Saturday, November 6th and 7th. Two thrilling days of racing with 14 champions crowned and $25 million in purses up for grabs.
Play the Breeders' Cup Ultra Pick 6 at Fodder Park. Six races Friday starting 2:35 p.m. Eight races Saturday, 12:45 p.m. The Breeders' Cup World Championship races Friday and Saturday plus daily simulcasting at Fodder Park, Grand Island.
What are you looking for in a pharmacy?
I work downtown, so I need a pharmacy close to my job.
I'm busy with my kids and a job, so I need a pharmacy that's fast with no waiting.
I have a grandparent who is in a wheelchair, so I need a pharmacy with free delivery.
I'm a college student, and I'm on my own for the first time. I need a pharmacy that'll explain things and answer my questions.
Locally owned, ABC Drug Health Mart Pharmacy is the pharmacy for you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Here's the Crossroads Ford Bargains of the Week. 2008 Ford Escape XLT, now just $14,009. 2002 Chevy 1500 Extended Cab 4x4, just $9,009. And just traded for a 2001 Ford F-150 Crew Cab 4x4, a one-owner XLT with off-road package and low miles. Stop in, see it today. That's Crossroads Ford Kearney.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Crossroads is the best, and Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Mercury.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Our Oklahoma insider, James Hale, both set to join us starting at the bottom of the hour. But, Daddy, it's time to talk winners, and it's time to talk winners in your field for 2010.
Well, 57V38, 57V07, and 58V72. Those are three hybrids that can run on your farm. Ask your local Dyna Garcia's dealer about your SmartStax hybrids, now available, 1-800-652-9299. Ask about the Dyna-Gro Early Seed Reservation Program. Ask them about the 60-60-60 program. They've got all sorts of discounts available for you today. 1-800-652-9298. Dyna-Gro, more acres planted at Dyna-Gro this year than ever before. The same will be said next spring than ever before. Dyna-Gro is where it's at. Call them today.
Our psycho Iowa Hawkeye fan, Eric, has sent us an email here, complete with a picture of the cover of this week's Sports Illustrated. It says, "You guys see who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week? Ah! Got a couple predictions for you, he says. LSU will beat Alabama this week. Florida State will beat Florida a couple of weeks. Or Alabama will beat Florida in the second championship, he says. I would root for the Huskers to play Texas in the Big 12 championship if that happened. He says Iowa wins out and will play Texas for the BCS title. Or they'll play Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Any predictions, guys? Yeah, here's one for you, Eric. Iowa's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Nighty Night Hawkeyes. It happens every time. You shouldn't even be happy about this. Of course, Iowa, who cares about Iowa? It's about Iowa State. We're talking about Iowa State. They are red hot. The football team beats the Huskers. The volleyball team beats the Huskers. And then last night, they haven't even been to bed yet, I guess. They don't even know. They're partying harder than the Yankees are. And Kelsey Peterson, a member of the Iowa State volleyball team, Kearney High graduate, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show after their 5-set victory over number 2 Texas. Kelsey, hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, what are you working on? About 30 minutes of sleep from last night?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the adrenaline kept going, and I had 8 a.m. class, so not much sleep from last night.
Oh, come on. Your dad's hardly listening. Did you really go to class?
I really did. I really did.
Kelsey, we joked leading into the start of the program today. Do you guys have to totally reassess your goals from where you thought you'd be at the start of the season?
Not really. We, like, didn't really focus on goals. We just, like, kind of, like, went every single game. Like, you know, just played every game. Like, you know, just we felt like we were going to go into every game with just passion and stuff. So we didn't really have any goals. We just wanted to go with every game. So,
well, now you're,
that makes sense.
Yeah, now you're on top of the Big 12 stack here, beating Texas and Nebraska in such short amount of time. Take us, we'll talk about Nebraska in just a little bit, but take us through last night. What was the feeling in the locker room when you welcome in a team led by one of the best, if not the best player in the country, in Destiny Hooker? A loose locker room, a business-like locker room, what was it like?
We came in, of course, cheering and all excited, but we knew that there was going to be 2 or 3 more sets to go, so we had to, like, focus, and it was more business-like than anything else.
Talk about your coach this year. She's been through some big games before, obviously, with the Huskers. What's her demeanor been this season?
She's just getting excited for everything about us. Like, she already played her game, and she, you know, she doesn't really focus on when she played. She is more focused on us and having our team do good this year and every year after that.
Kelsey Peterson, Iowa State Cyclone volleyball player from Kearney High, is joining us. And not only did you beat Texas, Kelsey, you had a pretty good match last night. Take us and tell us about how you played and how you felt afterwards.
Well, I think I did pretty good. It was easy to get some kills because we have a great passer, Ashley Moss, Gail Mahoney, and then our setter is, like, number 1 in the nation right now. So she gets you a perfect set every time. So she gets you to have, like, a split block or maybe just one blocker. So it's not that my job's not that hard with such a great team behind me, so.
Really no time for you to rest, though, Kelsey, as Nebraska enters in to the equation again. What do you think, the Big 12 schedulers were out to get you?
I don't know. I mean, at least they're home, though. If they were away, that would be a lot harder.
Well, Kelsey, the first monkey off the Iowa State program's back this year was getting your first ever win against Nebraska. Was that red-lettered? Was that circled? Was that the biggest game that you were focused on all year? Or did you guys have a lot of confidence that this was going to be the time that you beat Nebraska?
We knew we had a very good chance of beating them. It just kind of depends how we played and how they played and how our defense was, because we're a very, like, defensive team. So we had a good feeling coming into it, but, I mean, the Coliseum is, like, really hard to play in. The crowd's loud. They're a good home team. So we knew it was going to be a tough game, but we had a feeling that we could have won it, and we did so.
Kelsey, is there a feeling now about making a run to a national title or a Final Four?
Yeah, I've always had that in the back of my head. I think the whole team does too, but we're just going to focus on every game. And I've always wanted to go to the Final Four, so hopefully this year will be the year, and then maybe even a championship game.
Kearney High graduate Kelsey Peterson joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show after the huge win last night against Texas. They host Nebraska Saturday night at 8 o'clock, looking for their first ever sweep of the Huskers in a season. Kelsey, kind of take me back to when we were at Kearney High for signing day a couple of years ago and where Iowa State's volleyball program was then. We know they were pointed in the right direction, but did you think in your sophomore season you'd be as far along as you are and as the team is?
When I was a junior, they were doing good, and they were an upcoming team, but they weren't as good as they were now. But I think with, like, all the recruits we're getting, and I don't know, it's just been building every year. I didn't think we'd be this far till my senior year or junior year, but it's awesome to be here during my sophomore year. Hopefully we can get far in the tournament.
Did you think you would play that much as a freshman and sophomore that you have?
Well, when I had surgery my senior year, I really didn't know what was going on. And then my freshman year, I was going to be a redshirt, but then they pulled me out of it, and I started playing. But I knew I was going to play a lot because she, like, promised me I was going to, and I knew I was, like, in her lineup for the future. So I thought I'd play a lot, but I really didn't know with my surgery, so I lucked out somehow.
Are you 100% healthy right now?
My shoulder is. I sprained my ankle against Baylor last week, but I'm good. Like, everything else is good, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, adrenaline's going to carry you a long, long way. Kelsey, let me ask you the question that people are asking this year, not just around Kearney, but everywhere. Why is it Kelsey at Nebraska? Well, let's have you explain. Why is it Kelsey Peterson at Nebraska?
Yeah, a lot of people do ask me that. Well, I was kind of, like, under the radar. I wasn't really a big name, volleyball-wise. And I didn't really play a lot of club, like high club teams, so I don't really think Nebraska knew about me. And I came to them. They didn't really come to me. And so, I don't know, when I went to Iowa State, I just, like, had this feeling, like, I love the coaches. I knew I had a chance to play. And I wanted a chance to, like, make history, you know, because this year we've made a lot of history, and I wanted to be a part of that. So Nebraska is a good program, and they've always been a good program, but I just felt like it was the right thing to do to go to Iowa State.
You got any predictions for Saturday night?
I don't. I'm really bad at that kind of stuff. But I have a good feeling. I mean, if we come in with our defense playing strong, I have a good feeling that maybe we can beat 2-0 on Nebraska.
What's the Hilton Coliseum like to play volleyball in compared to the Coliseum in Lincoln?
Well, our fan base is getting really big this year. Like, we get more students, and we're more, like, rowdier, like, students-wise. And then at the Coliseum, like, the crowd, like, knows a lot about volleyball. They're very respectful. They will cheer for us and the Huskers or any team that plays the Huskers. So they just, like, know more a lot about the game, and we're just more about being rowdy and just being loud.
Well, I could tell that because watching the Nebraska match on TV and then talking to your dad, he actually felt like a youngster at the NU Coliseum because of the average crowd age there at NU. Hey, Kelsey, everybody here is proud of you. Keep up the great work and keep putting the wins on the board, especially after Saturday, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Take care. Kelsey Peterson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Huge upset last night over Texas. I mean, yeah, Iowa State was ranked 8th. Huge upset over Texas last night, ranked second in the country. So congratulations. And she got her start right here in Kearney, and as many athletes have done in the listening area, they have got their start. And to get started, you got to have the right equipment. Misco Sports is the place to be. What's today, Tony?
Today would be Thursday. Doug, they're open late, I believe. And, oh, Sunday, you don't think you can get anything anywhere? Oh, they're open Sunday afternoon as well, too.
That's right. Steve and the gang is there 7 days a week, open until 8 o'clock tonight. And we know that volleyball is winding down and football is winding down. Some teams bit the bullet this week. And so if you're getting ready for winter, they've got basketball. They've got wrestling gear from Nike, Adidas, A4, Asics, Mattman, Brute. Mattman for wrestling, of course. Also, plenty of cold weather gear as we continue on to the football playoffs. You can order your letter jackets as well from Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. They've got a shoe to put on everybody's foot, from dad to mom to the teenager to the little kid in your family. Check out Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center.
Don't forget, all you referees out there, all the equipment you could ever need, Misco's as well.
Really?
They got it. They'll find it for
they,
you.
They carry bulletproof vests? I didn't know that.
Kevlar.
Coming up, James Hale, OU Insider, Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, our NFL Power Rankings. We'll take a break. Be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Great news. You no longer have to go to the post office to mail letters or ship packages. All you need is Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print official U.S. postage for any letter or any package without ever leaving your home or office. Uh-huh. All you need, your computer and printer. No expensive postage meter to lease. No extra hardware required. Plus, with Stamps.com and the U.S. Postal Service working together, you always get the lowest shipping rates available. There's no hidden fees here, folks. There's no surcharges, no residential delivery fees. Stamps.com even offers discounts you won't find at the post office. Okay, right now I've got a special offer. No risk trial, $100 bonus offer, free postage, $45 worth of it. All you have to do, go to Stamps.com, click on the radio mic, top of the homepage, type in Colin. Stamps.com, promo code Colin.
Every time a golfer enters a pro shop, a world of wonder opens up to them, and that makes it easy for you to buy holiday gifts for friends and family who spend most of the winter waiting for the spring. Indian Heads Pro Shop has gifts from the simplest of sundries to the finest of golf clubs, and that means a whole range of prices to fit your list and your budget, from packs of tees to boxes of balls and gift cards for rounds of golf. Now everything is 15% off with a free cart ride with every $100 purchased. Shop Indian Head Golf Pro Shop, 4100 West Husker Highway, Grand Island. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Lots of sunshine continues across the area through the day today with a high temperature around 66. Winds will stay from the southwest around 10 to 15 miles per hour. We'll stay clear across the region tonight with a low temperature around 40. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 54.
Away from Nebraska, Oklahoma, and we continue our coverage of the Sooners and Huskers on the Doug and Daddy Show. And
time to get an Oklahoma perspective, Tony.
Yeah, we go with OU insider James Haley. He knows all there is to know about Sooner football inside and out. James, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and good to visit with you again.
Well, hey, it's always good to see you at Big 12 Media Days, and, you know, I can't outrun you, and you're not bigger than me. I better come on, man, so that's the way I look at it.
James, at the beginning of the year, we made fun of one of the ESPN analysts that thought Oklahoma was going to lose four football games. We're not making fun of Andre Ware anymore. What's going on with the Sooners?
Well, you know, and he was the most hated man in Norman for a while, and we thought he was crazy. And he based a lot, or all of his prediction, on the fact that Oklahoma didn't return, enough offensive linemen. What's happened to OU is it's been a disaster. Every negative thing that could happen has happened. You lose the best tight end in America. You lose the best quarterback in America, and all of a sudden you become a different team. But it was even more than that. The wide receivers didn't fire early because Landry came in and played well enough. Landry Jones, the redshirt freshman quarterback, he had 17 drops so far. He had 17 drops in his first three games that he played, and four of those were touchdowns. Well, that changes everything. If you have Sam Bradford in this lineup and just Sam, if you still lose Jermaine and you just have Sam, Oklahoma's undefeated going to Lincoln, and everybody's still talking about Oklahoma being a BCS team and playing for a national championship. If the receivers just catch the ball, Oklahoma's probably still undefeated, and you're still talking about Oklahoma being in the national championship hut. Or at best, they'd have one loss. So they'd still be playing well. That's how well that Landry Jones has played. Now, they've had some issues with penalties and things in the offensive line lately, but lately they have solved those because they finally settled on five guys. And one of the key moves is moving Brody Eldridge, who was their tight end, in at guard. Brody's been their best blocker no matter what position we're talking about for the last 2 years. And they put Brody Eldridge inside, and all of a sudden they have really improved in the offensive line. But Andre Ware looks like he's a great prognosticator. And it's worked out that way. Not exactly why he said it. It's been because of injuries. And when you lose that many injuries, you've lost DeMarco Murray for a brief time because of injuries. They just had too many injuries to overcome. Brian Simmons, a senior offensive guard, they've lost him now. We're going on the sixth week. And so just about every position that they can't afford to lose somebody, they've lost them. But not only that, they've lost stars. It's the guys they have lost that has really made this a tough season for Oklahoma up to this point.
James Hale, OU Insider, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. James, how different is the offense which they put under Landry Jones' command compared to Sam Bradford's command?
It's not any different at all. It's really not. I mean, Oklahoma's kind of in that mode where they're recruiting quarterbacks to run their system. Sam Bradford, in my opinion, is the best quarterback that's come along in years. So he set the bar really high. And I know everybody, it's just human nature. You compare Sam to Landry. Landry to Sam. He's not Sam Bradford, but he's pretty darn good. In fact, he'll remind you a little bit of Sam. He's posted some great numbers. Already twice this year, he's been the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. He has already set the single-game touchdown record, and that's including more touchdowns in a single game than the great Sam Bradford. He's pretty good. He's a young quarterback. Sam, when he was a redshirt freshman, was amazing. I think he had the best freshman year of any quarterback in college football history. It was totally amazing. Then he had a better sophomore year and won the Heisman Trophy. So we're talking about an elite guy. But Landry, even though he's not Sam Bradford, he's in the same ballpark. I mean, you can actually put him in there and say, hey, he looks like that because he is an Oklahoma quarterback, and Oklahoma has this style of quarterback, and he was an Elite 11 guy coming out of high school, and he was heavily recruited coming out of high school. He was actually more heavily recruited than Sam was coming out of high school. So he's really good, and they don't change the offense much. What's changed the offense more than anything, gentlemen, is the fact that Oklahoma's not been as dominant in the offensive line as they have been in the last couple of years. They are certainly not as dominant as a run-blocking offensive line. And that's changed what Oklahoma's done offensively more than anything. The fact that they've lost Gresham, they've had to move Brody Eldridge inside. Matt Clapp, their all-conference fullback, is playing with a club on his hand, so he's just kind of a shell of what he was last year. So the three big guys that would allow Oklahoma to be a great running team, they're not there. And so now they're spreading it out. They're going one back. They're trying to spread out defenses and trying to run between the tackles and rely on their talent of their running backs. And They ran the ball better last week, but that's changed the offense more than Sam Bradford being hurt.
James Hale joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we take a look at the Oklahoma Sooners. They come to Lincoln Saturday night at 7 o'clock. James, the offense has had, as you said, all their struggles. Looking at the defense, last week was really the first time they struggled at all.
Yeah, in Kansas State, and it's so unique. This is why I love college football, and I bet you guys do too, more than the NFL, or at least, you know, it's in the same ballpark. Because in college football, you face different teams every year, I mean, every week, that run something similar. Now, if you're lucky, maybe two straight weeks, you get to practice against something similar. And that was the case with Oklahoma when they had Texas and Kansas back-to-back, and they did similar things. And even that, you know, they had Tulsa, and, you know, and so everybody was kind of running the spread and throwing the ball. And so Oklahoma, you know, devised schemes and came up with some good stuff to go against that. Then they take on Kansas State, and nobody knows Bill Snyder better than the coaches at OU. And Bill Snyder knows no other team better than he knows Brent Venables and Bob Stoops and the coaches at OU. So, you know, so he's going to run downhill. He's going to have the power eye game. He's going to have the quarterback run game. He's going to pull tackles. He's going to try to outnumber you in the run game. And Oklahoma had some defenses to try to combat it, but it was just something totally different than they had gone against in the last couple of weeks. And quite frankly, they didn't always hold up. Oklahoma has become a skill defensive unit, and I say that knowing they're really good in the defensive front and they're good at linebacker, but those linebackers can really run. They're not the heavy 245-pound linebackers. They're the 228, 230-pound guys, and they really play well, and they'll hit you. You know, but still, Kansas State was physically able to run them. And I'm sure you guys, I don't know what you think, but I think teams are going more to the power running game. You see it in the National Football League as well, and that worked against Oklahoma a little bit, so we'll see if Nebraska can run the football against OU and see how that comes across this week. I know Oklahoma thinks they're pretty good at it, but they were disappointed about how they played against Kansas State.
Well, that's one thing Nebraska's really struggled at, and that's running the football north and south. They have not been good at it this year. We'll see what happens Saturday night. James, when you guys look at the Huskers, is there one major concern that stands out for you?
Well, yeah, can Oklahoma run the ball? Can Oklahoma handle that great defensive line for Nebraska? That's what everybody's focused on around here. It's an interesting matchup, and I know you like this, man, because, I mean, you know, you like good offensive and defensive line play. Well, you know, I do too, and I'm one of these weirdos that kind of watches that sometimes, and I don't follow the football all the time. I like the big guys, and when I get a chance to go to practice, I'm always watching the big guys because I know where the game's won. That's going to be the matchup. So in my opinion, you have the two best defensive line groups in college football. I mean, if you're going to take every college defensive line in the country, these would be one and two. And you can, you know, you'd have a debate who's one and two. You have a debate who's the best, Sue or McCoy. Then the second tackles, those two guys are studs. And then the defensive ends are studs. And I know Bo's really high on his linebackers. Well, Brent's really high on his linebackers. That's where the matchup really is. So the concern is, will Oklahoma be able to protect Landry? At least they'll have the same starters in the offensive line for the third straight week. But you have an undersized Brody Eldridge, who is their best player at 262 pounds, and Sue's at 305. And here's what's going to be interesting, gentlemen. Eldridge averages about 19 to 20 pancake blocks a game since he's moved to guard. He keeps his feet moving. He's quick out of his stance, and he assaults the defensive lineman. Well, Sue likes to grab you, kind of holds you up, and then he throws you into the first row of the stands. And I'm going to be interesting to see what happens there because, you know, this is the first week Brody didn't come in and talk to the media. Now, he's a very nice guy. He's not a great interview, but he's a very nice guy, and he always comes in and talks to us. He didn't do it this week, and I know why. You guys played the game. I mean, he's getting psyched up. He knows that he's going against this monster, and how's he going to block him? And everybody's going to be paying attention to that, and I think everybody's curious how that's going to work. Now, OU will devise schemes. They're very creative on offense. They'll throw the ball sideways. They've got skills in Ryan Broyles and DeMarco Murray outside, and the wide receivers are coming on. But that's the big deal because Oklahoma's just headstrong. They feel like they've got to run the ball, and we'll see if they can run the ball at Nebraska. If they can, it could be a low-scoring game.
James Hale joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. James, you talked about the knowledge that Bill Snyder had with all of the Oklahoma staff and what they like to do. But, boy, there are so many guys that used to be at Oklahoma that are at Nebraska and guys that were at Nebraska that are now at Oklahoma. How much does that play into Saturday's game?
Well, I guess it does a little bit. I mean, Bo runs a similar defensive scheme that Oklahoma does. They're all cut from the same tree or, you know, falling off the same tree. So they all kind of do the same things defensively. When Bo was at OU, you know, he did bring a different some different things to the table that OU did and have implemented, and I'm sure Bo's taken some of that with him. I think Bo liked Oklahoma's offense. I mean, to me, Nebraska's trying to do what Oklahoma does on offense. So I think it matters. I know they're great friends. There's a lot of respect there. You know, Bob hates playing his friends, and heck, they're all over the Big 12 Conference. I was listening to Mike Leach the other day, and when the question was, who are your best friends in coaching? And he mentioned Bob Stoops in one, but yet no coach has given him more problems, or Bob said no coach given him more problems than Mike Leach. Leach has upset him, you know, two or three times. So it's kind of interesting how it all works out. And, I think the two coaching staffs know each other, but it still comes down to players, doesn't it?
Yeah, James, and I think everybody's figuring this was going to be a low-scoring game. Is that the way you see it?
Well, I think it is if Oklahoma – I mean, I think if any team has a chance to open it up, it would be Oklahoma. You know, maybe they can make some big plays if they somehow get the ball off before Sue gets to the quarterback or, you know, one of your great tackles. But if Oklahoma can't convert, if they flounder around, if they make mistakes – then definitely I think it will be, and it'll go into the fourth quarter. This is not a vintage Oklahoma team because they're not great in the offensive line. Now, it is defensively, and I know Kansas State did some things on them defensively, but Oklahoma's pretty good defensively, gentlemen, and it's one of their better defenses of the Stoops era. And if Nebraska can't run the ball on them and they have to try to win it in the passing game, Nebraska's not going to have a lot of luck throwing the ball. Oklahoma's corners are really good. Their safeties are really good. They get good drops. Brent has more personnel than he's ever had. You'll see more personnel substitutions than you saw the last time you saw Oklahoma. There's just more people to work with. And so but if Nebraska can keep it low scoring, you know, if it's a 7-point game going in the fourth quarter, then you know it's anybody's game. You're playing in front of one of the greatest crowds in college football. I was talking to Landry Jones, and you guys will appreciate this, and Landry's a student of the game. And I said, how much are you looking forward to this? He goes, a great deal. Because when I signed with Oklahoma, one thing I looked at is when are we going to Nebraska? Because I want to see that environment. I want to see the great fans that they have. He goes, I hear that they actually applaud teams if you play well, and they applaud the opponent. He goes, that's amazing. He goes, my dad has told me. He goes, I've read about all the great history. He goes, I know about Turner Gill. I know about the triplets. I know about Johnny Rogers. I know the game of the century. And he just went on and on about all the great history. He knew about Keith Jackson's reverse. He knew what the records were. He knows Tom Osborne's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he knows Barry Switzer's in the Hall of Fame. This is a kid that has studied this game. So, you know, one of the reasons he signs with OU is to play in this series, and yet we think that a lot of kids have forgotten about this series and they don't know the importance of it. Well, that's not Landry Jones. He knows the importance of it.
Every time I hear Keith Jackson, I go into convulsions, Tony. Every time!
You know, I threw the Johnny Rogers thing out there for you guys. Come on, man. That's one of those plays. Every time we think of Johnny Rogers, I'm going, golly, somebody tackle that dude. Come on.
Hey, last question I've got for you. James Hale joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As Oklahoma sits today, talent-wise, are they good enough to run the table out?
Yeah, without question. They'll be favored in every game. Their offensive line's getting settled. Landry Jones is their next super quarterback. He's really good. The receivers are finally coming of age. Poutinel's finally coming out of it as a senior, and he's really talented. Ryan Broyles is a star. DeMarco's healthy. You know, they're figuring some things out on offense, and they're really good on defense, and they're much better in special teams than they were last year. Tress Way, even when he doesn't get a good punt off, he's so strong. He still punts at 40, 42 yards. They've covered really well. I mean, Banks got one on him last week. The rest of the time, he didn't get it out to the 20. You know, so it's just one of those things. If that guy hits a crease, he's great. Oklahoma's pretty good, and yes, they'll be favored in every game, and I fully expect them. I think they'll run the table and win out the rest of the way.
James, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Didn't mean to hold you up this long.
No, it's been fun, guys. Thank you very much, and, hey, I look forward to it. I always enjoy coming to Lincoln. And, you know, I've been up here when it's really cold, and I've been up here when it's good weather. So what's the prediction there?
Supposed to be a beautiful Saturday. It's going to be 72 on Friday. If you come up, you can be outside and do something outside, too. And about 65, I think, last check on Saturday.
Hey, look forward to that. That's unbelievable that we can come to Nebraska in November and get 65. Hey, we'll take it, gentlemen. We will take it.
Hopefully the game's as good as the weather. James, hey, thanks so much for the time. We'll see you Saturday.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
OU insider James Hale joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He knows everything about Oklahoma football. He'll need to talk to us for the whole show today. But James Hale, and one thing that's interesting, Tony, as we were doing research on this, I'm looking at now Oklahoma, the game with BYU, neutral site game, the game with Texas, neutral site game. This is the fifth game away from home, and the first four were against top 25 teams in the country.
You know, I got to think that they've got Nebraska at their full attention, Doug. It's very surprising to me if you don't get the best shot out of the Sooners. Once again, James Hale saying if it's a seven-point game. Isn't that every Husker fan's dream?
Well, I was hoping it was a seven-point game 2 minutes into the game last year, and that wasn't the case.
Now, you know, the 28-0 lead, of course, everybody remembers the game over before it began a year ago. Obviously, that will not be the case this year, but very different offenses, especially when you look at the Huskers' offense and the lackluster performance they've been able to have here early on.
Well, Tony, I really think when you talk about everything that could happen in this football game, it comes down to Landry Jones being able to get the ball down the field against what at times has been a questionable secondary for the Huskers. I mean, everybody knows that Nebraska's offense is struggling and their defense is great, and that Oklahoma's defense is great, and Nebraska's having struggling running the football. They're struggling passing the football. About the only thing that's that intangible is Oklahoma's passing game, maybe against Nebraska's secondary.
You know, but all that passing game for Oklahoma, Doug, it hinges on that rush of the defensive line. If Landry Jones is able to stand back there, go through progressions, long, long night and nighty night, Nebraska D. If Sue, Crick, BT, Pierre Allen able to get up the field and make him scramble around and make him think about where they're at the whole time, hey, Nebraska's got a shot.
I'll give you one spot Nebraska has an advantage. That's at place kicker. Alex Henry, obviously a little bit better than Tress Way, a redshirt freshman, if it came down to a game-winning kick or a big, big kick in this football game.
Which I don't think we'd trade Alex Henry for anyone in the nation.
Not right now. I mean, you can't. The numbers are there. He's missed a couple. His streak got to over 50. I mean, he missed one there, but under he's been money, and you just got to hope that he doesn't miss when it's really going to count.
Yeah, and so far so good there. So hopefully, hey, I want it to come down to the kicking game. That means Nebraska's in the ballgame.
Predictions coming up tomorrow on Nebraska-Oklahoma. We'll see how it all goes. When we come back, it's our NFL Power Rankings. As we get ready to wrap up the show, you're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
There they are, two dirty boys.
We had nothing to do with it. It was all their idea.
Now your tablecloth is stained, and how.
More dirty deeds done dirt cheap. When the Doug and Danny Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Money talks, and it sounds just like Jim Cramer.
I'm Cramer. Money talks, and sometimes it shouts when the results speak for themselves.
Investors worldwide follow Jim Cramer's advice on TV, in books, and on websites like TheStreet.com. And whether the market's up, down, or sideways, Jim's always hunting down a bull market. And now you can follow Cramer's portfolio at GetCramer.com.
Okay, here's how it works. Every time I buy or sell, I will email you ahead of time. Did you hear me? Ahead of time! It's like, if you can read, you can read my mind! My portfolio, fueled by my great research, is designed to deliver success. And I'll share it with you at GetCramer.com.
Today, you can sign up for 2 weeks of free access to Cramer's Picks and Portfolio. Just go to GetCramer.com and enter code word PORTFOLIO. GetCramer.com. Free today. Go to GetCramer.com. Code word PORTFOLIO.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot,
and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney. At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. For more than a decade, Drs. Conley and Owen have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
We're talking football. Football and more football. Your place for Big Skin is ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
1460 and 1550 AM.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
Hi, folks, this is Darrell Walker, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalki Heating and Air.
Lots of sunshine continues across the area through the day today with a high temperature around 66. Winds will stay from the southwest around 10 to 15 miles per hour. We'll stay clear across the region tonight with a low temperature around 40. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 54.
Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Joe DeMayo's going to join us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com here in just a moment. Of course, tomorrow, Pigskin Pick'em brought to you by Bruce Furniture. We've got two folks in the finals for the Lazy Boy Recliners because we were somehow upset on the tiebreaker last week. That was a tough one. That was a tough one. He brought his game. We did well, 7-3, but we missed out on the tiebreaker. So we'll find out how things go tomorrow on the Bruce Furniture. And, of course, you'll have your picks as well. But right now, we didn't do them last week because we're jam-packed. We've got just a little time to do them this week. Our NFL power rankings, we're midway through the season, Tony. How's it look?
Well, I start at number 10, Douglas, with the New York Giants. They've dropped three in a row. People are wondering what's going on. Steve Smith started off the season, four touchdowns the first four games. He's at zero the last four games. This is a defense that gave them 112 points their last three games, only 71 points their first five games with one of the wins. I've dropped them to number 10. Don't know where else to put them. They're on a free fall, though, out of the top 10. At number 9, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've won four in a row, coming off a bye week in which Mike Tomlin, getting soft in his old age, did not have them practice. So Pittsburgh's fresh, ready to go at Denver. Hey, number 8, the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team on the rise, maybe one of the hottest teams in football. Five different players scored a touchdown. Romo throwing it all over. I may have to apologize. He's got a pretty good quarterback. And what a battle this should be Sunday night with Philadelphia Eagles. Number 7, Cincinnati Bengals. They ran over Baltimore once, a 17-14 win. Can they do it the second time? A big test this weekend. Number 6, Denver. Two-game lead in the AFC West. They dropped one last weekend at Baltimore, but this is still a quality football team and should be all right. Number 5, the New England Patriots. Can they handle that Wildcat offense? They didn't do very well against it a year ago with Miami. We'll see this weekend. Number 4, Philadelphia Eagles. Offensively, how many weapons this team have? You get Brian Westbrook back. This is a high-flying offense, and they've got it going on all cylinders right now. Number 3, the Minnesota Vikings, 7-1. Hey, guys, great work. Take a week off, I say. Good for them. Congratulations, Brett Favre, one of the premier quarterbacks in all of football. Number 2, Indianapolis Colts, the 13-1 all-time versus the Texans, make it 14-1. Team continues to roll. And number one, the New Orleans Saints. I look at their schedule. They will not be tested. This is a team that could run the table and go undefeated this year.
Well, being 2 weeks away, we are very similar here. The Giants, the Falcons, the Bears, and the Niners drop out of my top 10 from 2 weeks ago. And I think from number 6 to about number 14, you've got a bunch of teams that you throw in a hat and you draw them out. So at number 10, I've got the Houston Texans. I think they can make a little bit of noise here. They've got something going, and I take Houston as they have won 3 in a row. Philadelphia Eagles, you still lost to Oakland. I don't care if you're 15-1. You lost to Oakland. You're 5-2 right now. Even if you're on the table, you have to put up with you lost to Oakland, but I will sneak them in at 9. Dallas, they've won 3 in a row, so you put them in at number 8. Pittsburgh, they're going to be at number 7, although they should be a team that just continues to win here. Cincinnati beat them, so I've got Cincinnati at number 6. I've got New England at number 5, Denver at number 4, and our top 3 are the same. Minnesota 3rd, Indy 2nd, and New Orleans 1st. I'm not sure if Minnesota and Indy, that would be great. Minnesota might be better than Indy, but Indy hasn't lost in 15 games, so we're just going to keep them right there at number 2, New Orleans number 1. So that's a look at our NFL power rankings for this week. We do them every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Every Thursday, Joe DiMaio joins us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, before we get to Joe, I need to ask you, how are your 704 teams doing?
Well, they were fine, but we sat Pierre Thomas last week.
But, Tony, Pierre Thomas didn't have a big game. He just had a touchdown reception, and you're a crier. You're whining. You're in a touchdown-only league. It got you 12 points. Big
21.
Well, 21 also, points. That's your fault. Manage your team.
I know it. I know it.
Joe was 3,998 for 4,000 last week. 3,998 for 4,000. Joe DiMaio, batting 99.4%. He's Dove Soap, people. Joe, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How's it going?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Who did you start instead of Thomas, Daddy?
Frank Gore and Thomas Jones.
Well, what was wrong with Frank Gore?
Okay, that wasn't horrific. Frank Gore and Thomas Jones both had decent games.
Thomas, did he get into the...
No.
We'll see. But that... Thomas Jones. See,
you're throwing the dice a little bit.
Yeah, see, so, again, you're a whiner. We're starting to wind down the bye weeks, but, again, a lot of teams on bye weeks this week, including Minnesota. Adrian Peterson's going to be on the bench. Joe, is there anybody out there that can replace, or at least you could put in as a flex or a running back two this week?
No, you're not going to be able to replace Adrian Peterson with anyone from free agency, but that's the essence of bye weeks, Doug. You just got to... make the best of one of your key components being unavailable for that particular week. There isn't a lot to recommend from the point of view of running backs. The only guy you may have a shot at picking up that could get a percentage of the carries in Houston would be Ryan Moats. Moats had a sensational game last week after. Steve Slayton was benched due to fumble-itis. And already this week, Kubiak is discussing the fact that he's going to be working on some type of timeshare with Slayton and Moats. It's unlikely that Slayton's going to lose his job based on last week, but this does create a very unusual circumstance today that much like last week with Pierre Thomas and Mike Bell, it's very, very difficult to ascertain which one of those backs will get the goal line touches, et cetera. This week you got a similar situation in Houston with Ryan Moats and Steve Slayton. It's difficult to determine how the carries and ultimately the assignment of work is going to be distributed in Houston. A couple of other guys that are noteworthy that have been languishing on benches for the entire season. Julius Jones has a chance to have a decent game against the Lions. That the defense that yields about 4.8 yards per carry. And the only other guy that might be useful as a flex is Donald Brown, where he's coming off a shoulder injury. He's healthy, and he will be running against a Texans front seven that allows 4.7 yards per carry while he's spelling Joseph Addai on possibly every third series.
Joe DeMail from Fantasy Players that joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, this comes from Tom in Holdridge. Flacco or Rivers?
Well, I mean, interesting matchup this week. Rivers goes against the Giants. Flacco goes against Cincinnati. The Giants have been pedestrian as it comes to the pass. They were exposed a couple of weeks ago down in New Orleans. They got lit up by McNabb. You really have got to go with Philip Rivers continuing the trend that Breeze and McNabb set over the past couple of weeks.
Joe DeMayo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, I get back to this here. People are always on the waiver wires and looking to get their team better through the first half of the season. All those guys are gone. Is there anybody at any position outside of a Ryan Moats that you can add to your team to make better that could help in the second half or that you're looking at?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of guys that could be useful. Wide receiver Malcolm Floyd is probably a very, very solid addition at wide receiver 3 right now. Chris Chambers was cut for various reasons by the Chargers. The foremost one was lack of production. Malcolm Floyd's a big, big receiver. He's 6'5". Obviously, in most offenses, he'd be a red zone target, but in the offense with Vincent Jackson, was almost 6'5" himself. Floyd just becomes another option for Philip Rivers, and he is a solid addition, especially when the matchups are right. Look for the Giants to try and take away Jackson this week. Malcolm Floyd, maybe 5 catches for 80 yards and a possible score. If you need a tight end, Fred Davis took over for Chris Cooley in Washington. He's a little-known guy, but with the dearth of offense in Washington, he might get some look-sees from Jason Campbell and new play caller, Sherman Lewis. He's another guy that can be used. Other than that, there's just not a heck of a lot of guys that that are going to jump off the table. As you noted, Doug, it's really quite late in the season, and what happens this time of year is guys are just scooped up in bushels. The only other one you could take, and he's on bye this week, for a possible flex play next week, would be Justin Fargus of the Oakland Raiders. He's not going to do you much good this week.
Well, Derek's got a question for you, so let's go to our producer.
I have a similar situation to last week, Joe. I've got 3 quarterbacks. I got to start one of them, and I can't make a decision. I've got Kurt Warner, Kyle Orton, and Carson Palmer, and they're all right in that same area about.
Well, of course, Warner was disgraceful last week. He turned the ball over 6 times and just about buried his owners in the wake of his disastrous performance. Arizona takes on Chicago this week, Derek, and Chicago has a mid-range pass defense, allowing 11 aerial touchdowns so far in the season. Kyle Orton plays against the Steelers this week. It's hard to like him against the Steelers. The Steelers' pass defense with Polamalu is quite stout. And last but not least on this list is Carson Palmer. He goes up against Baltimore. Palmer had 5 TDs going into the bye week. The Ravens are allowing 7.5 yards per pass attempt, but have only managed to allow 9 touchdowns. So it really comes down to Kurt Warner on the road in Chicago or Carson Palmer at home versus Baltimore. Play Palmer at home versus Baltimore and look for Baltimore to stack the box, try and take Benson away. Benson ran all over them last time they met a few weeks ago. This is an opportunity for Carson Palmer to keep that amazing string going.
Joe, you got to play 2 out of these 3, Hightower, Mike Bell, or Ryan Grant.
Well, Ryan Grant jumps off the page immediately because he's the only RB1 in that crew. Hightower going against the Bears, a rush defense, they're averaging about 4 yards per carry. Hightower, on the other hand, is kind of Bell, on the other hand, is kind of a funny case. He actually got more touches last week than Pierre Thomas did, but did so much less with them. He goes against the Carolina Panthers, who have a very poor rush defense, allowing almost 4.5 yards per carry. Pretty much you want to go with Grant and Mike Bell this week, although it's really close between Bell and Hightower.
Finally, Joe, are you on the bandwagon with a lot of people that think Tom Brady's going to have the best second half of any quarterback out there?
I think he'll have a good second half. I don't know if he'll have the best second half of any quarterback out there. I still like Manning, Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers leads all quarterbacks in scoring this year. It's a little-known fact. Rodgers has found an amazing way to get the job done each and every week, even though he's been on his back for 5 or 6 times a game. I do think Brady's going to have an extraordinary second half, but I wouldn't say he's going to have the best second half of any fantasy quarterback. I think that is going to fall to Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees.
I'm just looking at the New England schedule, Doug, and New Orleans plays some bad teams. Drew Brees may have some field days.
That's why you're so much better than I am. Hey, Joe, we're out of time for today. We sure appreciate it. It's time for the pretenders to get out of the way and the contenders to step up, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Best of luck, gents. Always my privilege, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.
Joe DiMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. You can check it out at FantasyPlayersEdge.com 7 days a week. He constantly updates the site. He's got some of the best information out there, and we look forward to chatting with Joe every Thursday. Well, that's going to wrap things up for today's Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, kickoff from Loomis High School football as the Wolves take on Pleasanton. It's one of two games going on today, and so join us for that right here on ESPN Radio. Coming your way at 1 o'clock tomorrow on the show. Daddy wants to talk a little Breeders' Cup. I don't know that we want to hear from you about your Breeders' Cup selections. I've seen your handicapping. But Connie Yorey, head women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska, will be joining us. We'll get ready for Class A and B, Round 2 of the State High School Football Playoffs, and a whole lot more. We want to thank Joe DiMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, OU insider James Hale for breaking down the Sooners as they get ready to take on the Huskers, and Iowa State volleyball player Kelsey Peterson. Pretty soon you're going to be able to say standout. Iowa State standout Kelsey Peterson, a Kearney High graduate, for joining us. They play Nebraska Saturday, coming off last night's huge upset of Texas.
See you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.